thanks to our friends at Battleborn for their help and their support on this episode. Hello and welcome back to the Lehigh Valley with Love podcast. Today, we're talking with Marine veteran Gabe Atkins, who's preparing to bike thousands of miles from Pennsylvania to California as part of the 22 is Too Many, a mission focused on veteran suicide awareness and supporting organizations helping veterans in crisis. Really quickly, I want to say thank you to our sponsors, Wind Creek Event Center, Michael Bernadin with Remax Real Estate, WDIY 88.1 FM, Banco Beverage Company, and our friends at QuoteAhead.com. If you're looking to do a summer project, give them a look. Gabe, welcome to the program. How are we doing?
Pretty good. Thanks for having me, George. I appreciate it.
Yeah, so I'm assuming you're training a lot, and we're going to get into that, but I kind of want to start with the beginning of all this. I want to learn a little bit about Gabe. Could you tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got to this position where we're at today, where you're going to be biking across the United States to raise money and awareness for veteran suicide?
Absolutely. When I first, when 9/11 happened, I felt kind of an obligation to do something and give something back to this country. And I joined the Marine Corps, and I served 2 tours of duty in Afghanistan, totaling about 18 months deployed in combat. That said, when I came back, for me, it was a bit of a struggle to reacclimate to the civilian life, to be honest with you. So from 2006 to 2008, I really didn't feel like I had a purpose. And almost weekly, I would hear that a friend of mine or someone that I served with has taken their own life because they were struggling with PTSD and things of that nature. So to me, that whole veteran suicide prevention became really important to kind of highlight. Mm-hmm. And finally, I decided that this is the time. I'm not getting any younger, so if I want to do something physical, I probably have to do it now, just to raise awareness that, hey, this is what happened. And there's not a lot of resources out there for veterans who are struggling with PTSD and mental health issues.
Yeah, and talk a little bit about the name. 22 is 22 too many. I think I might have mispronounced it. 22 is 22 too many. Can you talk about the name of the organization?
It is indeed. So 22 is 22 too many. It kind of highlights that on average, about 22 veterans take their own lives as a result of PTSD and mental health issues after coming back and separating from the military. So 22 veterans committing suicide every single day, in my opinion, is 22 too many. And the lack of resources or the lack of knowledge on how to access those resources is a critical part of that whole process. I take this from a personal experience. I did not know what options I have. I did not know who I can turn to kind of get some help. And the most important part is that I didn't even think I had an issue. It was one of those things that, hey, it's my bed and I kind of got a lie in it. So I didn't even know that, or I wasn't strong enough, I should say, to kind of look for those resources and seek any kind of help. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I don't want to generalize at all, but part of the thing that makes you a great soldier and that those qualities are also the ones that possibly keep you from asking for help. You don't want to show weakness. And I know that that's for some men. They're like, I won't go to the hospital because it's that sort of thing. What are some of the reasons that, or you even just said, you just didn't even know. So what are some of the reasons that, veterans don't seek out help?
Well, you actually hit it right on the head, so to speak, because it's one of those mindsets that, hey, I survived all that. Something as simple as this, I can't show any weakness of any sort to seek help, because if I can handle that, I should be able to handle this.
Sure.
And the key point is in that, I think I want to highlight, is that I should be able to handle it. The problem is that is such a silent killer, if you will, to a point where it really, within your own self, it minimizes the impact that it's actually having on you. That being said, you don't seek that help because you're one tough Marine. You were deployed in Afghanistan. You don't need or any other conflict for that matter. You don't need people to help you. And plus, it is difficult to find someone that can truly understand what you're going through.
Mm-hmm.
And the old adage is to say, those who know don't say, those who say don't know, it is a really important aspect to highlight because of the fact that you don't feel comfortable sharing your experiences, sharing what you've kind of been through, and sharing what is going on inside you with other people. And because of the fact, again, it comes down to that, hey, I feel weak if I do seek out the help.
Right. Like you've done just things that most human beings haven't experienced on deployment. And then how do you expect a therapist to relate to that when you come home? It's wild to think about. What were you able to do? What was your kind of path to figuring some of this out?
So I kind of closed off when I first came back. I didn't have any friends, or I didn't, you know, hang out, associate with anyone, because I felt like the issues that they were bringing up, honestly, were more so first world problems kind of thing, right? And they were talking about, oh, my internet went down today. And here I am, and here I am, you know, trying to deal with how do I get reacclimated to actually be, you know, become a productive member of society again. Mm-hmm. But for me, it was, all right, so what are my passions? It went back to that. What are my passions? And photography was one of the things that I always enjoyed, even mm-hmm. before the service. So I picked up a camera. A used one that I actually bought on the Facebook Marketplace at that time. And I just started going on hikes and camping and like primitive stuff. Just go out in the woods and just be with my thoughts and my mind. So, and to me, that felt kind of like peace in essence. What I didn't realize is that was doing a little bit more damage than I realized at the moment, because it was still preventing me from reintegrating into the society. So, but again, for me to be able to try to deal with those emotions without actually seeking help or without even looking for options, it was going out in the woods, camping, and taking my camera. And that kind of helped me at least understand that, hey, the worst part is over. Now mm-hmm. we got to focus on day-to-day things, and the bad things are not going to come to me, because I'm getting used to, hey, I go out there, nothing happens, I come back, nobody, you know, I don't get any news, I don't have to deliver any bad news to families when I come back home. So that gave me more of a, hey, this is great, this is helping me. And mm-hmm. most people don't get to that point when they realize that, hey, this is my passion and I'm going to pursue this to help me get past that. So this is why it's important that people understand, and this is why it's important, and I'm probably going to get a little bit more into this, but it's important to recognize the organizations that help veterans deal with these, or at least find the resources that are available to them.
Sure. I mean, like you said, for you, photography, you know, for somebody else, it could be something else, right? Painting, it could be cryptocurrency. I don't know. But being in the place to find it is tough to get into as well. And that's, yeah, it's all a process.
100%. And that's the thing. Again, most people don't know what that is. For some people, mm-hmm. it's family. Like they immerse themselves into family life, you know, kids, wife, whatever the case may be, right? That is how some people deal with it. But you have to find that. And sometimes the feeling of you're on in this alone is what makes this even more challenging. Because together is better than just being by yourself. Mm-hmm. But finding your people, so to speak, is really difficult at times.
Right. And some of our people are Battleborn, who we're big friends with. And I know that's how we connected. Actually, we connected through our friend Mitch and then through Battleborn as well. It's fun how the networks work like that. Can you talk about some of the organizations that you have worked with or have supported you, et cetera?
The biggest, well, for me, I didn't necessarily know the resources that were available to me, right? So I dealt with this primarily on my own, and that's why I understand what people are going through, because mm-hmm. they don't know that these resources might be available. when I first learned of Battleborn specifically, I started really diving a little bit deeper into what they do.
Mm-hmm.
Not they don't just necessarily put the veterans in touch with other, you know, benefits and how to kind of reclaim their options. They also give people a sense of, hey, you're not in this alone. You have other people that can support you through this process. And mm-hmm. I think that feeling of, hey, I'm not doing this by myself and the whole world is not out to get me. And there are other people out there that can actually understand my pain. And I touched on this a little bit earlier. When you talk to everyday people, they don't understand you. They're talking about the internet going down or, oh my God, my car broke down, whatever the case may mm-hmm. be. I'm not minimizing those things, but it's different.
Sure, it's perspective.
Right. Of course. Yeah. And it's the events that they organize and the benefits that they provide to veterans. And they don't ask for anything in return for these services, right? They just put and give you all the resources available that I wish I had known when I was dealing with it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that to me really pulls the strings of my heart of the mission that they're trying to do. That's why I decided that any funds that we can raise for Battleborn specifically, mm-hmm. and they are local to the Lehigh Valley. So anything that I can do to help bring awareness to what they're doing and how they're supporting the veterans, I'm all for it.
And is this money that you are raising going to multiple organizations, or how is that working out?
So my goal is to split this between Battleborn and the Wounded Warrior Project.
Okay.
Which is a national organization, obviously.
Sure. I think most people are familiar. Yep.
Yeah. So that is my hope, and that's my goal, because they do quite a bit of, even the Wounded Warrior Project, they do a lot of work with veterans and supporting them post-service and post-separation.
Well, let's talk about, we haven't even talked about biking across the country yet. Number one, just set the stage for us. I know you're leaving July 25th. How long is this going to take? How long have you been training? Are you a biker? Are you a bicyclist? Have you done this your whole life? Like, set me up here.
So, I mean, I've been biking for quite a while. As I was trying to kind of get acclimated back to the civilian life, I had purchased a mountain bike. And I started just taking my bike rather than walking and hiking into, you know, kind of like bike packing, so to speak, right? So I would go out for a couple of days, tent, you know, you'd camp in a tent and all that. So I'm not a road cyclist who's ever, you know, ridden hundreds of miles a day. I'm not that person. But I am an avid biker, a mountain biker specifically. And so this is not a 1 or 2 day. This is going to be a total of 102 days based on the current route. I know. It's about 102 days from here to San Diego. Now that can change depending on what the weather is like and all that. But that's the plan right now. Sure. What I've been doing to kind of...
Go ahead. I'm sorry. No, I stopped you. I'm very curious. Continue. Yeah. Tell me about your planning.
So what I've been doing to kind of get my body in somewhat of a shape, I've been riding locally about 30 to 40 miles at times every single day, just to kind of get acclimated to that. And I don't necessarily follow a specific route because I want to be in the unpredictiveness of the roads, because I have no idea what the roads are going to look like. I have a general idea how much incline there's going to be, and there's a lot, but I don't necessarily know what the roads are going to be like in general. So I'm just getting on the bike, riding, and then when I hit about, you know, 15 to 20 miles, turn around and things of that nature. But just to get my body acclimated to being on the saddle for hours on end, because that is not necessarily an easy task either.
Excuse me. And how granular is this? Are you like, do you have your overnights planned? Do you have every stage of the route planned and like a GPS? How are you doing it?
So yeah, I do have an itinerary, if that makes sense. Based on the incline or how much ascent I'm going to do each day, that will depend on how many miles I do each day, because I don't want to exert my body to a point where I have to stop doing this. So every single day is kind of planned out, for the lack of a better word, but it's not necessarily set in stone. If right, I feel yeah. okay, I rode 30 miles a day, but if I feel okay and then there is a spot that I can stop, like a campsite 10 miles down the road, I will continue riding, right? Mm-hmm. But the idea is to have at least some sort of a plan. Hey, this is where it's a good place to stop and camp. But if you feel okay, keep going. But if there's a thunderstorm coming that's going to be on your way, you probably stop sooner sure. and then set up camp that way. But yes, every single day is kind of planned out as to where you're going to be by the end of the, you know, in the evening. So,
do you have like a home team, or are you going to be doing like internet check-ins? I know you have a Facebook page that we'll share with people. How are you going to be updating?
So the plan is to post updates throughout Facebook and on the site 22is22twomen.com. And every 22 miles, which we'll kind of get to that in just a second, but it's an important piece. Every 22 miles, my goal is to stop and take a picture and share it with people. Here's 22 miles in. Here's another 22 miles in. Here's another 22 miles in. It doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, the post will be shared as I happen to complete the 22 miles, because it will depend on the self-service and, you know, yeah, and plus there's going to be a safety and security concern too that you have, you know, have to account for. You don't want to put live updates as to where you're going to be every 5 seconds. It just doesn't make sense.
Right. Listen to the man. Everybody else out here posting willy-nilly. But yeah, you're correct.
So that's the goal. Everybody's going to be updated. Yeah. I'm going to try and keep it a vlog, if that makes sense. Share some videos, share some photos. And again, being a photographer, I'm definitely taking my camera. And if I see a good scenic route, I'm going to, you know, take a good picture, and hopefully people will enjoy it. And I'm going to make it available to everybody to download it and print it, do whatever you want to do with it.
Yeah, it's funny. I was looking up on YouTube, like Ride Across America videos and routes before I was talking to you. And like there's a northern one and like a middle one and a southern one. They're like suggested routes. The one you're going on is like the most difficult possible, isn't it? From like the Lehigh Valley area to San Diego, that seems like the longest possible route. How long is your actual mileage going to be?
It's going to be about 3,517 miles in total. And I'm doing this primarily to avoid the Rockies, the Colorado Rockies.
Yeah.
This is going to be 100 and some days, not necessarily just the ascent, but winter and cold weather comes sooner in those areas. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to be around in that area around maybe October, mid-October timeframe. And I don't want to be caught in an early October winter storm going through that. That's why I'm kind of doing a hybrid, like through the middle of America, and then through New Mexico and Arizona and things of that nature.
Sure. I mean, let's not discount. This is crazy. This is like people don't normally do this in their lives. You know, what do you hope when people see you doing this over the next couple months, the next 100 some days, what do you hope that they're getting from it?
The main and the most important piece, George, is going to be to understand that the journey, when you come back and feeling like you're alone, the uncertainty of what comes next, people don't understand that in general. Mm-hmm. I'm doing this, I'm taking this trip, not because it's going to be an easy thing, but to highlight the struggle that our veterans are dealing with on a day-to-day basis after the separation from the military. It is important to mimic that as much as possible so you can be vulnerable. And hopefully people will understand that this is not an easy journey when you return, just like it's not going to be an easy journey traveling by bike by yourself all the way from East Coast to the West Coast.
Right. And for those who are maybe listening to this and want to reach out to a resource, what would you suggest the best way to do that is? Because we mentioned Battleborn, we mentioned Wounded Warrior, we mentioned your site, 22is22twomeny.com. You know, what would be the first step if you were to advise another veteran?
The first step is try to get in touch with someone, find an organization. They're all over the country, but find the organization that works with veterans, and at the very least gives you that camaraderie of not, you're not alone. It is really difficult to come back from being in a unit, right? And doing everything together for months on end, yeah. Sometimes years. And then you come back and you're like, I can't relate to anybody anymore because I'm not mm-hmm. used to that. What do I talk mm-hmm. to them about? But finding that organization that kind of helps and even puts the veterans together through community events of that sort. Even if you don't sure. talk, at least you just go there and feel like you are with your people and you belong right. there. And everyone that is in that vicinity, at least in some way, understands your pain. So find an organization that works with veterans. And even if you don't do anything, if you don't get any help from them, participate in events. Make you feel like part of a community of sorts.
Yeah, you know, I think you make a good point. It's not necessarily like, hey, you got to go sit in a therapist room or something like that. You know, immediately it can sometimes be as simple as, right, finding new people to hang out with and to talk to and to be around and to find some purpose with.
That's exactly right, George. Finding that group or that community that you feel like you belong and they can understand you is a first critical help sure. or set.
And speaking of help, I know that, hey, you're going to be out there. Like we said, more than 100 days going across the country. You need some help. I saw some Amazon wish lists and stuff. Can people just go to 22is22too many.com and, you know, I help you with your Amazon wish list or just donate directly at the website? Is that the best place to go?
That is probably the best way to do it. And the website also has some t-shirts and hoodies and things of that nature because oh, yeah. some people feel like, hey, if I'm going to give something back, I would like to at least have something yeah. physical.
Right, well, then you're a walking billboard for 22 too many. Yeah,
and that's why I think that's important because if you wear a t-shirt at an event, people are automatically going to ask what this is about, right? Sure. And that brings awareness. So that's it's a good way to do it. And absolutely, you know, if you go to the website, there's links for you to donate if you are able to the cause and. 50% of every donation, 50% of all the sales from products after the cost, obviously, will go to organizations like Battleborn and will go to Wounded Warrior Project. And the other 50%, I'm going to be completely transparent. I'm doing this and I'm going to do this whether or not anybody donates, period. I will find a way. Mm-hmm. I'll figure yeah. it out. But the idea is to make the journey as acceptable as possible. And again, weather sure. is coming. So there's going to be some lodging that might be needed rather than just primitive camping. But that's basically where the funds are going to go to. And I'm going to post on the website maybe either every other week or every month all the sales mm-hmm. that have been made, all the costs that have been done, and what the quote-unquote profit from all those sales and donations is. And share it and be completely transparent. This is not about, hey, fund my flight to California type of thing. Transparency is key. I'm not looking to do this for myself. I don't need to do this for myself. But it is important that people understand, hey, you've been generous enough to donate or help buy a shirt or a hoodie, whatever the case may be. This is where that money is going towards.
Yeah.
Complete transparency is an important piece.
I think people, I mean, I appreciate that. There's so many things you can go fund me until the cows come home, but to see what you just said, kind of the transparency and the auditing of that. But like, of course, you can't do this for free. Like, Gabe, you need fresh socks out there so people can jump on there and get you some gear. I mean, this is it's a really special thing that you're doing to kind of be that, you know, you're the avatar of some of this stuff and saying, hey, if you think you can't do it, well, look at Gabe doing it. And I think that's important for a lot of people to see that in action. So go ahead.
One more thing, George, if I may. I'm hoping that once this journey is over, people will see that and realize that, hey, anyone can do something mm-hmm. to raise awareness for this. And even if it is just, I want to go ahead and walk 100 miles, right? and just to kind of raise that awareness. It's an important piece, and it makes people hopefully feel empowered to do something about it.
Yeah, I mean, you're empowering me, you know, to it's wild to see just people who know me, they're like, you got to talk to Gabe, you got to talk to Gabe, and then talking to you and realizing what you're going to be doing for the next 100 days is insane.
Yeah.
You know, and I appreciate what you're doing, and I agree that it's time, you know, to shed more light on what's going on with the mental health crisis for veterans and you know, men in this country as well. And the more we can talk and the more that we can get together, even if we're just, you know, hanging out, that's the first step. So Gabe, I want to thank you for doing this, and we wish you all the best. And people can go to 22is22too many.com. The links are in the show notes. And we're looking forward to following your journey in the next couple months.
I genuinely appreciate you reaching out and kind of putting the word out there, George, what you're doing. And I even saw that, I listened to that episode about that mountain, the guy that's climbing.
Yeah, Dylan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I do appreciate you highlighting these important, you know, events and I guess, for locals here in the Lehigh Valley. So I do want to take a moment and thank you, and thank Mitch for kind of putting us, you know,
absolutely
in touch. So thanks again. I really do appreciate it.
All right, Gabe, all the best, and we'll talk to you soon along your journey.
Sounds great. Thanks, George. Appreciate your help.